It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What a beautiful day we have going on here. It is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, for my usual Friday trip down whatever lane we're going to take today. It is Friday, June 25th, halfway to Christmas. Can you believe that? I'm not trying to make anybody, worry or whatever, or think about it, but, we're already halfway to Christmas, and, I like Christmas, so it always makes me think of it. And it's also my sister Shannon's birthday. And so I just wanted to say happy birthday to her. And we just have a great show today. We're playing it loose and fast today. We are doing it from Pork Fest today. We got Ernest, Sierra, and Donna Hancock there. They're going to be feeding me guests all day. And it is just going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to the guests that we're going to have on. We have, in the first half hour, we have constitutional scholar and all-around good guy, Michael Badnarik. And then we're going to have Brooke Kelly, a good friend of the show, as well as Taryn Lupo. Then we're going to have great musician Jordan Page. And we're just going to keep the party rolling here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. But first, I want to go to just a couple of pieces of news that I think is very important. Anybody that's in the Arizona area, tomorrow night at St. Mark's Church at 3809 East 3rd Street in Tucson, Arizona, Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth is going to be speaking in Tucson tomorrow. If anyone is interested in finding out the truth about 9/11 and what happened, and you live in the Arizona area, please, please make it down here. This is all about the science of it, how it is physically impossible unless the laws of physics were suspended for one day, one moment. There's no way that what the 9/11 Commission report put out, it can be accurate. So if you come on down to St. Mark's Church, 3809 East 3rd Street, Tucson, Arizona, tomorrow night to hear Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And I highly urge you to go to that website. It is it has so much information. And I don't know, it's over 1,100 architects and engineers have signed on to this now. And so if you really are interested, if you want to wake yourself up from the matrix, I highly encourage you to go down. And I'll be talking about it again on the air, too, next week. But Love Police Scotland, I'm Jet Lacy, Detective Jet Lacy of the Love Police Arizona. And we are doing an international Free Hugs Day on Saturday, July 3rd, 2010. The one in Phoenix is our location is yet to be determined. However, the participating cities already are Edinburgh, Scotland, London, England, Brighton, England, Cheltenham, England, Wisbech, England, Waterford, Ireland, Lisbon, Portugal, Santarém, Portugal, Buenos Aires, Ruidoso, New Mexico, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona, Philadelphia. The list goes on and on. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, I feel very lucky. I didn't know that we're going to have such good guests coming on the show today. We're going to talk to Michael Badnarik on the flip side when we come right back. So please hold on, and if you feel like calling, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. We'll see you in just a minute.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. We're getting so funky, you can smell it up in here. We're having a great time. Not to mention the fact it's going to be about 115 degrees today. That's the other reason it's going to be funky in here. So we have a very esteemed special guest here. Michael Badnarik, are you there with me, sir?
I hope so.
I am so looking forward to speaking with you. I've never got the opportunity. A lot of times when Ernie goes out to these events, I'm here in the studio filling in for him. But you really are a true friend of liberty, and I really am glad to have the opportunity to speak with you. This gentleman is a constitutional scholar, which around here we call it the Constitution, but, you know, you know, and you gave an 8-hour Constitution class yesterday, didn't you?
I certainly did. We had several students here at Porkfest that, I mean, I managed to get people fired up. Even people who come to Porkfest and already know about freedom, I've managed to, you know, spin them up to new heights. But I also have kind of a public service announcement. I've whittled the Constitution down to 7 words.
I'd love to hear them.
Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I mean,
that's
that really
what it's
works.
All about. Yeah, don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff.
So, what is that your, I was looking on your Wikipedia page, just kind of gleaning a little bit of information. What does the originalist interpretation of the Constitution mean to you?
Well, why do we have any government at all? I mean, why not just eliminate government and have everybody do their own thing? Well, most people don't want to do that. We have life, liberty, and property. And the only rational reason to establish a government is to protect your life, liberty, and property. And so if you read the Constitution from that point of view, it's no longer ambiguous. It's no longer a living document. But we don't use the Constitution anymore. The people who are in Washington, violate the Constitution, they ignore the Bill of Rights, and people usually attribute that to a failure of the Constitution. Well, if the Constitution were perfect, and it's not, but if the Constitution were perfect and nobody read it, nobody understood it, nobody defended the ideas in the Constitution, what good would it be? I mean, you may as well bury it underneath an Egyptian pyramid.
Yeah,
you know, either that or put it in the bottom of a birdcage for all that it's worth. It's not the Constitution's job to protect you. It's our job to protect the ideas in the Constitution.
Yes, sir. I'm very jealous of my liberties, but I think that is a large part of the problem here in this country now, that we have a large percentage of the population that has no idea about what their rights and their liberties are, and so they're not jealous of their liberties.
Absolutely. That's how I start my class. I let my students know that most of what they think they know about the government and about our Constitution is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I get proceed to prove it. And we start from there. We analyze why we have a government. We understand the principles involved. And again, it's all life, liberty, and property, which, I mean, I wasn't being facetious. It boils down to don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. And if you can understand that and respect it, you don't want other people to hurt you, then you can't hurt other people. You don't want people to take your stuff, so you can't take other people's stuff. That's as simple as it gets. The Constitution is really just, you know, putting that down in writing to detail how we're going to accomplish that. And if the Constitution doesn't work, let's throw the Constitution away and do it again.
But that's also the social contract between us and the government in our country.
No.
And so they have effectively voided that contract.
Right. Well, it's not a social contract. It is a limitation of their power. We have individual rights.
Right.
You know, we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and we give the government privileges. And because we give the government privileges, we could take those privileges away. And people say, really? We can? And I point to the Declaration of Independence, which says that we can alter or abolish the government. Like, what does abolish mean to you? If the government's not doing things the way that we want them to, let's change it. We are the source of all political power in the United States, and we as Americans need to start acting like it.
Yeah, people feel so powerless, but that's what exactly what the government wants, is us to feel powerless, because they cannot abide by us feeling powerful, because that takes away the power from them.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we talk about a lot of nasty things. Most of my students are stunned to discover that most of what our government does is unconstitutional. But at the end of the day, they do feel empowered. They realize that we are sovereign, we are the source of political power, and that, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do to clean up this mess, but that's our job, and we can do it. So there is this catharsis at the end of the class where people do feel powerful.
Then that's really what we need to do. And, you know, I'd like to switch up a little bit. I would like, you know, getting back to Porkfest, why would someone that has, you know, been the Libertarian Party candidate for president, I mean, you're the parliamentary president of the Continental Congress that just recently happened. Why would someone like you go to an event like Porkfest?
Because there are people gathered here in the spirit of liberty. Their goal is to do whatever they can to restore the liberty that our founding fathers dreamed of. And we've got, I think I was told we have about 750 people here scattered throughout the hotel, scattered through the campground. They have had the opening ceremony last night and music. It's a large gathering. Why would families gather together on 4th of July to have a picnic? Well, to celebrate, you know, each other and to be glad to be with family again. And part of it, at least, is a family of people fighting for liberty, trying to reduce the size of the government, reduce taxes. And they are here to join with their friends every year, to picnic and party a little bit, and to have a little bit of a good time, because fighting for liberty is hard work. And they can network, you know, to find all the new people who have recently moved to New Hampshire, get some new ideas, and to get their batteries charged, to feel good about it. It's like, we are restoring liberty. We are being successful. And they can leave at the end of the weekend feeling powerful, feeling secure in the fact that there are other people out there who believe in liberty and who are working just as hard as we are to restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Do you feel that it's getting bigger? Like, I sense that people are coming around more and more in the freedom movement. And do you hear people at Porkfest saying that there's more people coming and more people getting involved?
Oh, it's clearly obvious. When I came to New Hampshire the first time, I think it was in 2003, for an event called Escape to New Hampshire. New Hampshire had not been chosen as the free state yet. That was soon to come. But at that event, I think we had about 40 people. We've got 750 people here, and there are, you know, hundreds of people who really couldn't make it because of, you know, cost or schedule. So, I mean, just by counting people, I can tell you that it's growing bigger. If I travel around the country teaching my class, and, you know, I was with the Continental Congress, I see lots and lots of groups, and we've got the Campaign for Liberty, we've got the Tea Party rally, we've got the Oath Keepers, Libertarian Party, Constitution Party, all these different liberty groups. We had 2 million people in Washington, D.C. last year. So, yes, this liberty movement is growing. People really are beginning to realize that this is not the United States that they were supporting, not the United States the founding fathers had dreamed of. And so people are looking for answers. They're searching out. And the only thing that can happen is that the liberty movement will grow. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. It's got to get bigger.
It's an often quote that I from John Adams that I quote, revolutions always begin in the mind, and a physical confrontation part of it comes as an after effect. It's a result of those in power trying to maintain their power. But a revolution really is in the mind, a separation of your mind and spirit from the powers that be.
That's exactly what I taught my students in class yesterday. That this is an ideological war. You have to understand the ideas, you know, so that you can understand how things are getting taken away from us. So I promote that quote and, you know, tell my students to study the ideas in the Constitution.
Can I keep you over to the next segment, Mr. Bednarik?
You certainly can.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
I look forward to I got a couple more questions I'd love to ask you. I'm really excited that you came on the show with me today on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacy. We're going to jump back in with Mr. Michael Bednarik. Feel free to call in 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom?
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy. We have a very esteemed guest on the line with us, Michael Bednarik, and I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to speak with you, Mr. Bednarik. You got really sick on December 21st of last year, I understand. And again, I know you saw him recently, but Ed Vallejo is in the studio, in the workshop here, working on a Western Libertarian Alliance newsletter, and he wanted to send his hello out to you.
Oh, I love Ed. He's a great man, and I'm glad that he was able to participate in the Continental Congress with me, and so tell Ed that I reciprocate to send my love back.
You bet. He's listening to you right now. We got it cranked up, so he certainly heard it, sir. So tell it, how are you feeling? Are you doing okay now?
I am 120% healthy. I'm 150% stubborn. Mm-hmm. It was a minor problem. I was only dead for about 10 minutes, but I came back, and the doctors and nurses finally threw me out of the hospital. So I appreciate everybody's concern for my health. It was the biggest surprise to me. Fortunately, I got to sleep through it. By the time I woke up, all the nasty part was over. So
former life, I was an ICU nurse. And I specialize in cardiac problems, so I'm truly glad that you're okay. You didn't suffer any real residual damage?
No, the doctors and nurses are a little bit surprised that I did as well as I'm doing, but I'm back to, like I said, 100% healthy. I returned to Texas early February and started my tour teaching my class the beginning of March. And the good news, from a number of reasons, is that more and more people are interested in my class. More and more people are taking my class, which allows me to pay the rent. And the momentum towards liberty is building. I can feel it. I'm kind of riding the crest of this wave. In fact, as soon as I'm finished with this interview, I travel to Des Moines, Iowa, and I teach my class in Des Moines on Saturday, in Fairfield, Iowa on Sunday, and in Davenport, Iowa on Wednesday and Thursday night.
Oh, because I saw on Facebook this morning Ron Paul's heading out that way to give a speech. Are you going to be at the same event with Dr. Paul?
I hadn't coordinated, but I did learn recently that he was going to be there. I think I'm going to have the time, so I will. Ron and I are good friends. We have the common denominator that we've both run for president. And so he and I get to talk about things that other people wouldn't understand. So yes, well, if I can get close enough, Ron and I will probably visit for a little while.
Yeah, not only that, you both ran as libertarians.
We did, And I ran for Congress in 2006. I was planning to be Ron Paul's pit bull in Congress. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of Congress is a little irritated with Ron because he keeps bringing up all these constitutional issues. But, you know, I was going to be the guy that really added fuel to the fire. In many cases, Ron tries to promote a motion, tries to get some legislation passed, and he will make the motion on the floor and can't even get the dignity of a second from the other members of Congress. Mm-hmm. And so my job in Congress, had I won the election, would be to be Ron Paul's second. I mean, they would be telling me, Representative Bednarik, please sit down and wait until Ron Paul makes the motion before you jump to your feet to try to second the motion.
Yeah, that's just, I think that is just so awesome. And, you know, we all love Dr. Paul around here. I'm amazed that you give an eight-hour class on the Constitution. Are you sort of like the David Icke of the Constitution without the, you know, the reptile references?
I know of David Icke, and I know about the reptile references. What I try to teach people, the philosophy. Why do we have any government at all? Why not socialism? Why not communism? Those are forms of government. And so we spend 3 hours or so talking about why we have government. And once you understand the fundamentals, once you understand the importance of life, liberty, and property, I mean, it's easy to say that, but, you know, really, to understand life, liberty, and property takes a little bit of analysis. But once you analyze it, now you can read the Constitution on your own time and figure it out. So 8 hours sounds like a lot of time to spend, but all of my students report that it's like, oh, my gosh, that the day went by, felt like, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and the day's over. They all want to ask questions. And so typically at 6 o'clock at the end of the day, I go to a restaurant, and any of the students that wish to can join me, and we will talk about the Constitution, talk about Supreme Court positions. I've had a group of students keep me out until 2 o'clock in the morning, which is an additional 8 hours.
Wow. Well, I thank you so much for spending time with us, Mr. Bednarik. It means the world to me to get a chance to talk to you. We would love to see you in Arizona, you know, but I would encourage you to wait till it's a little less hot out. But anytime you want to come to Phoenix, Arizona, you're more than welcome. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. Thank you, sir. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk to some more people. Be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues. With me, Jet Lacy. Our next guest up is Rob Gray, who is also a RBN host with the Barter Hour on RBN, 9 to 11 p.m. Central Time on Sunday. He's part of the AG Trading Post and Republic Trading, and he also did the Freedom's Phoenix Silver Medallions that you can still buy from Ernie if you go to freedomswithanSphoenix.com. Are you there with me, Rob?
I'm here, Jed. Thanks for having me on the program.
Good. Good to talk to you, brother. I think we did talk one other time on the air when I was very first started.
Yep.
Tell me why you're at Porkfest this year, brother.
That's actually a really good question. I'm just beginning to exhale and figure that out for myself. But I was in the area, heard that there are a whole bunch of liberty-loving people hanging out, and it'd be a good time. So I decided to grab a couple cases of beer, a couple bottles of vodka, and grab a flight, and all of a sudden now here I am hanging out in the middle of the most beautiful part of the country that I've seen in a long time, dodging from tree to tree to find good cell phone service and just admiring the beauty and appreciating the coolness of having all these similarly minded people hanging out on a voluntary basis, you know, just kind of exchanging, doing commerce, making food and selling stuff and just getting creative with freedom and liberty. It's a really great time, and I'm glad to be here.
That's awesome. You know, the guys from We Are Change, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they got denied entry into Canada on the way to the G20, and Luke Radowski, who created We Are Change, put a posting up on Facebook, said, should I go to Pork Fest? I was like, absolutely. So you guys might have a couple late stragglers coming in today.
And, yeah, that's a reasonable plan B. I mean, I heard a story about somebody getting detained that was over from Britain, so there's some drama and some people upset about that.
It's the love police.
And to do a little bit of a caravan heading the other way. So it'll be fun to have Luke and the boys down here to help out with freedom with Porkfest, too. So that'll be a blast.
Yeah, that's Charlie Veach from the Love Police, and I'm Detective Jet Lacey of the Love Police Arizona. We've been out doing some similar actions, so if anybody wants to look into that for the Love Police, call the Toronto Police. This guy is about peace and love and honesty and standing up to the man, Charlie Veach.
I'm not sure if what I heard is true or not, but I heard that it was DHS that was up there arresting him, and they brought him over to New York. So I don't know where this guy is right now, but the rumors are flying around that he might be actually in New York now.
You know, it's always those guys that are spreading the word of love that really get taken out because they're doing the one thing that works. You cannot eliminate the negative that is fascism and, you know, with negatives. You have to throw positives at it, and that's what Porkfest is all about, right?
Sure, of course. Yeah, and that's what we're doing as well with the silver thing. You know, we're helping people get an economic solution out there into the marketplace as well, because as long as we're sitting around trading Federal Reserve notes using the blood money of the cartel, they're sitting around laughing at us. And that's why, you know, economically we have to do it. We have to do it from an activism standpoint. We got to get out there, get the voice heard, and let people know that freedom is here and it's here to stay.
You know, if we take ourselves out of their system, they don't have any power over us.
That's it, man. That's what I call IR-1207, ignore the Fed. It's an individual resolution. You don't need a majority vote to do it. All you have to do is look to trade with people. You know, do it any way you like, barter. You know, there are people up here that are trading smoothies for gyros and this and that and the other thing. So silver, gold, oil, water, food, whatever you have, just use some sort of alternative method of bartering for the things that you need. And all of a sudden now, that grip, that death grip that the Federal Reserve has over your life becomes smaller and smaller and more diminished over time, to the point where if we get enough people to do it, you know, it just doesn't matter anymore. So that's my thing, man. I'm out there pushing IR-1207, ignore the Fed.
Act like they don't exist,
and all of a sudden they're gone.
You know, I got about 20 of your the Freedom's Phoenix coins. That's part of my savings for the future. And
beautiful.
I tell you what, you mint some beautiful coins.
Thank you.
Who else do you mint coins for?
Well, we just launched last week the brand new medallion for the Republic of Texas. Now, this is an actually like really interesting story. It's not a group, man. They're not an organization. They're a nation. And for years, they've gotten together every single month in, month out. They actually have a Congress that meets in Texas. They have people to get together. They have elected officials. They have elected judges. They have courts, common law juries. I mean, it's not like a group of fringe guys that are out there doing their own thing. It's actually a really big nation. And we just completed last week the minting of their first medallion. They've got copper coming out and some gold pieces as well. So a lot of neat things we're doing with those guys. Recently, we launched the Kokesh for Congress candidate currency. You've probably seen some images of that floating around.
Yeah, he's a good friend of this show and all of us here in Phoenix.
Yeah, so we're trying to get honest candidates that that support honest money to you know, put their money where their mouth is and start accepting donations in silver and start using that silver for campaign supplies and campaign advertising and campaign materials, all that stuff. And Kokesh is one of those guys that was out there doing it and making it happen, you know, just a legitimate guy that believes something and then actually does it as well.
Yeah, when he comes through Phoenix, he stays, you know, he stays at my house because I'm willing to accept Baloo, his dog. And I actually gave him the only campaign donation I've ever given him was a silver coin.
That's it. And that's my thing as well. You know, I get people to call me all the time saying, hey, would you donate to this cause? My first question for them always is, will you accept a donation in silver? They're like, sure, I'll do that. And then I'll put it right on eBay and I'll turn it back into cash. No problem. And I'm like, well, that's like really counterproductive to what I actually want to see you guys doing. I want to see you out there using that silver to make your money go even further to, you know, to help the campaign. And that's actually one of the reasons, now that I think about it, why I'm even up here. The Motorhome Diaries guys are coming out with kind of part two. It's called Liberty on Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together this cool video looking for sponsors to help, you know, pay for some of the costs. And I said, well, I'd love to get involved, but here's what I want to see you do. And the two guys, Pete and Adam, picked it right up, and they said, yeah, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to be out there, you know, introducing silver, introducing this alternative to the marketplace all over the country. We want to get it on video. We want to be able to show people what we're doing. And if we can actually make our money go even further by spending silver, which is the whole point, an economic incentive to using honest money, then we'll be able to, you know, accomplish more, do more activism, and get more out of this trip that we want to do. And, you know, that's a group that I can really get behind, because they see the value of the honest money. They're willing to put their money where their mouth is and actually get behind the concept of not just storing silver, but trading it as well and implementing that alternative. So there are a lot of groups out there that talk about it, but these are some of the people out there that are doing it, and that's what I like to see.
Hey, that's a perfect segue, brother. Tell us how the AG Trading Post is going, and tell the people out there a little bit about it.
It's not, man. It's sad but true. We had to shut it down. Actually, April 1st was the last day, so it had a very short lifespan, and it was a huge learning experience about what to do and what not to do when it comes to starting a business. But the concept kind of lives on. The idea for this store, as some of the listeners out there are familiar, was to create the first store in the country that actually refuses Federal Reserve notes. So you walk in with your dollars, and we don't take them. You know, we don't trade good, hard, you know, products for paper. It's not a fair trade. So we exclusively accept trade. And the first problem was we weren't trading for the rent that we had, the space that we were using for the store. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if you've got a trading post and you have to pay cash for rent, it makes it really hard to survive. So lesson learned. But the store is still alive. It's still online. AGTradingPost.com is where people can check it out. And we still have the same great inventory of stuff that we had before, like locally raised grass-fed beef, chicken, eggs, a whole bunch of food that you can trade silver for. Not only is everything reasonably priced, you know, in kind of figures that are similar to dollars, but you can use AOCS silver and other silver for it as well, and we have a great exchange rate. If you use AOCS silver, you get it to spend it at face value. If you use, like, Silver Eagles or Maple Leafs, we'll give you spot plus 10 for them, and if you use generic, we'll give you spot plus 5. So even though, you know, we don't exclusively accept AOCS silver, we want to keep the option open for people still to have some sort of incentive to spending real money. And that's the biggest challenge that exists right now in the marketplace for getting an alternative currency going. There's got to be some sort of incentive to part ways. Like, you get that tube of 20 Freedoms Phoenix over there, and if you walked into some store and they said, sure, of course you can spend silver here, I'll give you $10 an ounce for it, you probably wouldn't spend them, right?
Right.
Well, if they said, I'll give you 18 an ounce for it, you still probably wouldn't spend it. If they said 21, well, now you're probably talking about actually covering what it costs you to buy it, but you'd rather have the real money than the bad money, so you still wouldn't spend it. So the biggest problem that silver has in the marketplace is getting people to be able to spend it with incentive to get more for their money than if they were to spend the cash or, you know, the silver at spot. So that's the idea. And the AG Trading Post was the first attempt. We're seeing more places pop up across the country now that are saying, well, we're not going to go exclusively to silver, but we'll take silver and we'll give you some sort of incentive for it. So the concept's catching on across the country. We got more people that want to replicate it now, and it will be back before long once I have a little bit more time and attention that I can dedicate to making it happen the right way.
Do you see anybody trading in silver at Porkfest?
Well, there are some people you can ask. And one of my problems is I don't never carry a whole lot of cash with me. I'm like a silver guy, and I kind of, like, you know, believe that and do it. So nobody's got, like, an official exchange rate or, you know, pricing in ounces, which is really what I look to see. You know, it's like, okay, well, if you charge $5 for a smoothie, is that a tenth of an ounce? You know, or what's your conversion rate? How does it work? So people are still, even in this environment, a little disappointing, I'll be honest. You know, I'll say it on the record here, that it's a little disappointing that more people aren't actively promoting some sort of alternative or giving people the option, or at least promoting that there is an alternative. But, you know, if you ask, and you ask nicely enough, generally speaking, people will do it. But again, you still come back to that same problem of at what value.
Right.
So that's the big challenge that we still even have here in this kind of environment. But that's what I'm doing out there. You know, I'm getting out there. We've got our trade coordinators all across the country that are working with merchants and local business owners and, you know, anybody to say, hey, listen, let's start bringing in new customers. Let's get them coming in here and spending silver. And once you get that silver, let's go out and spend that on raw materials and on things that you need that you're paying for right now with cash. So, you know, the situation or the transaction works once everybody understands what it is and what they're going to do with it. I mean,
yeah,
it's the same reason why
right.
people are still willing to accept U.S. dollars. I mean, it's just paper, but people accept them. They have no intrinsic value, but they do it because they know where they can go to spend it. And once we can get the fellow liberty activists familiar with the concept of accepting this piece of silver, which intrinsically has a value, and then going out there and not just saving it, but spending it, putting it back into circulation, now we'll have a realistic alternative and something that's in motion.
Right.
And that's what our group's doing with the American Open Currency Standard. We're going out there, we're finding trade corners.
Right. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it sounds to me like that seems like a really natural progression for like Porkfest for next year.
Yep.
You know, someone could put up a post, like a big, you know, someone dealing in like junk and trade silver and just teaching people and have everybody accept that.
Right.
And,
well, that would be cool. And our group has actually produced the official Free State Project medallion. So I don't see why that couldn't happen in partnership with the Open Currency Standard. But along those same lines, man, here's a funny story for you. We've got Renaissance festivals coming to us now saying we want the vendors at these Renaissance festivals only accepting the coin of the realm. So can we start making small silver medallions or even copper medallions, calling those the coin of the realm, and that way when you come into the Renaissance Festival, you exchange some Federal Reserve notes for the coin of the realm, and then most people aren't going to exchange them back when they leave. They're going to keep them kind of as keepsakes. You know, when you go to a carnival, you have to buy tickets to pay for anything?
Right.
It's the same concept, except now you've got a pocket full of these cool tokens that are kind of like keepsakes, and you can even use them at the next event because they don't expire. So maybe the Liberty Movement won't catch it, but maybe the Renaissance Festivals will, you know? So that's what we're doing. We're just trying to get creative and finding anybody out there that wants to grab hold of the concept of an alternative medium of exchange through whatever flavor that it takes, just to put it out there in circulation. The biggest problem we have to date is actually just getting silver in people's hands. It's like everybody wants it, but money's real tight right now. So, you know, it's kind of hoarded, the silver that is out there. You know, people want to hold on to it. So the biggest problem we have right now is actually just getting people to get silver and then spend silver. So
it's being used as a medium of savings more than a medium of exchange.
That's it. And that's how most people feel about it right now. And we're trying to break that paradigm and shift it a little bit so people say, okay, well, if I can buy this silver for $22 an ounce or 21 or 20 and I can spend it for 50, well, that's a huge incentive for me to actually spend that. And what's funny is when the price of silver creeps up, people get less excited about spending it because the incentive isn't as great. So that's we've got a lot of these things that we constantly, you know, that we constantly have to stay aware of because they work against that concept. And, you know, we, like I said, we're just working on finding creative ways to get around it, put more silver out there in circulation and get it trading. So far, so good. Maybe next year, like you said, we'll have some sort of official program that allows people to exchange in and out of silver and, you know, junk silver and some sort of alternative to make it a little bit more congruent. And, you know, the whole year, we got a lot of exciting things to look forward to.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
It's really my pleasure. And just a quick update from what you said earlier, my program, I'll be doing a live broadcast here from Porkfest tomorrow night. That's Saturday night, 9 to 11 Central Time. So if anyone wants to catch that, that's when they should tune in.
Can you give us a little bit, you know, like your websites and all that good jazz?
I can. To check out the overview of the concept of what we're doing with the Open Currency Standard, you want to check out opencurrency.com, O-P-E-N currency, like money.com. And if they want to learn about the AG Trading Post, listeners can go to agtradingpost.com. But if they want to buy silver, the one and best place to go to get AOCS-approved medallions is jacksonsilver.com. That's the store that supports the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's the store to go to get the beautiful, absolutely stunning Jackson Anti-Banker Medallion. You can pick up the Lakotas there and a couple other ones as well. But if you're interested in helping out and making sure RBN stays out there, spreading the message of freedom, doing their thing, check out Republic Silver or jacksonsilver.com. Either one of those two will get you to the exact same place. So check out jacksonsilver.com. Pick up a tube, show your support for RBN and what all these activists are out there doing in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's really blowing up this freedom movement, Rob, and I thank you so much for the call, and I hope you have a great time at Porkfest. I'm very jealous.
It's a blast. We're just getting it started now, so feel free to check in with updates. I'm sure we'll have updates along the way with other broadcasts. So and thanks again for having me on the program. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hope to listen to the Barter Hour on RBN, 9 to 11 p.m. Central on Sunday. Thank you again, Rob. And when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with Jet Lacy, we got a friend of the show coming on. Her name is Brooke Kelly. She caused quite an uproar when she was here on the show a couple of weeks ago. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The revolution continues with me, Jet Lace. You've got a friend of the show on. Are you there with me, Brooke?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, girl?
It's hard to hear. It's kind of hard to hear you. I'm good. We're here at Porkfest, having the time of our life. It's awesome. Why aren't you here, Jet Lacy?
Because I didn't have access to the private jet that Ernie had, you know, to bring him to Porkfest, and someone's got to man the studios. But, you know, we haven't really heard much from you since you left Phoenix. What's going on in your world, and what are you doing at Porkfest?
I went out to L.A. for a second, and then I drove out here, and I'm with one of my friends, Chanda Panda. We're traveling across the country, and we're actually going up to G20 tomorrow, so I wish I could stay here because it's, like, the best event of the year next to G20, but duty calls. We need to be up on the front lines right now.
Well, did you hear about Luke Radowski? He said he might come to Porkfest because he was denied entry into Canada.
I know. He will never get into our country. They kicked Luke out, or they didn't let Luke in, and Charlie Beach of Love Police was arrested as well and brought back to the States. No, he wasn't arrested?
Wow.
So we're going to try to get in, though. And we need soldiers. I mean, obviously, some of our best guys have already been kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need as many people as possible. Anybody out there listening who's been on the fence, maybe you want to, maybe you don't, like, just come do it. We need help. We need representation. Like, your services as an activist are needed. If you're scared, you can at least just show up and see how it goes and kind of fall back. I mean, it's not all crazy mess except for the front of the front lines, but we need all the support we can get.
Yeah, fear is overrated. So, you know what I mean? You know, I know that, you know, FDR was a big globalist, but it is true that the only thing we had to fear is fear itself. And we have to stand up for our rights or they're going to be taken from us more and more, right?
It's true. They don't want just want a couple of our rights. They want all of them. But I went last year to G20 and I'm going again, or at least we're going to attempt to go. I'm pretty sure we are going to go. And I mean, once you get there, it's like, for me, I look at Luke. Luke taught me a lot. He taught me how not to be afraid, how you just need to go in there. There's a job to do. You just go in there and you do it. So, I mean, hopefully other people can overcome that, too. But if not, I mean, at least, you know, show up and show support and stuff, because these guys will not stop. That's the thing. You want to enjoy your life. You want to sit on your couch and eat your potato chips and watch your movies. Well, you better step up and do something, because if not now, those privileges that we think that we have that are rights to sit in our own home and do whatever we want, that, too, will be taken. I mean, somebody's got to be there to fight these battles.
Right. So tell me, you know, we're talking more about Porkfest today. So what does Porkfest mean to you? And, like, whenever we hang out together, whatever, you talk about Porkfest constantly, and you always look forward to it. It's like your favorite thing of the whole year. So why do you go to Porkfest, and what do you plan on doing? What's your favorite parts?
My favorite part is the community here. I mean, it literally changed my life last year. I came here last year. Drove in with one friend and I left with 1,000 new friends. I mean, it's just awesome. Like, all of my experiences after Porkfest last year were with people completely transformed me. And it's like, if you don't know anybody, if you're sitting out there and you're in New Hampshire, you're nearby and you can get here, get in your car and get here, because you walk in and everybody just welcomes you with open arms. It's an amazing vibe, and it's friends for life. I mean, that's the real reason why I'm here, is because it's liberty, but it's also a sense of community. But it's also liberty people actually working towards freedom, not just talking about it, but actively working and trying to make a better and more free society, place than we left it. And that, to me, is just priceless.
Well, that is awesome. It was so awesome talking to you, as always, Brooke. You're a good friend of mine, and we'll talk to you again real soon, okay? When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy, I don't even know who's up next, but we'll figure it out when we come back in 1 minute's time. We'll be right back.